a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Michelle Vandenberg. The headlines we're tracking at this hour. Powerful pledge. China's top legislator Zhao Leji addresses Boao Forum. Vows Chinese economy will be a strong driving force for world recovery. Shanghai Vision. The city outlines strategies to transform Shanghai into an international center of economy, finance, trade, shipping, and science and technological innovation. Sweet temptation soars. Coca prices crack all-time peak on Tuesday and soar above $10,000 on stubborn supply fears, further causing worries about the elevated cost of Easter eggs and other chocolate treats. The third day of the Boao Forum for Asia kicked off with a keynote speech by China's top legislator Zhao Leji, where he pledged China's efforts to provide stronger impetus to regional and global development. Our reporter Gao Ang has more from Boao.
So during the opening plenary, China's top legislator Zhao Leji stressed that Asia is one of the most dynamic and also potential regions in the world, as it has made a great contribution to global growth. He also said that China has been promoting green development and also calls for collaboration with other countries in many aspects, such as tech innovation. He also said China has been welcome investment. And for more on that, take a listen.
We will proactively align with high-standard international economic and trade rules and foster a pro-business environment that is market-oriented, law-based, and world-class. We will further shorten the negative list for foreign investment, remove all restrictions on foreign investment access in the manufacturing sector, deliver national treatment for foreign businesses, and make it easier for foreign nationals to work, study, and travel in China. Apart from being a main trading partner of more than 140 countries and territories, China is a primary source of investment for more and more countries, and one of the most important investment destinations for most countries in the world. In the next 5 years, China's trading goods is expected to exceed $32 trillion, and the potential of its supersized market with over 1.4 billion people will be further unlocked. Investing in China is investing in the future.
There will be also a lot of panel discussions going on covering a broad variety of topics ranging from global security initiative and real economy and also digital economy. And now as many institutions are predicting that Asia will continue to be the engine of the global economy in 2024, there will be also a panel discussion on building Asia into a growth center.
Now let's go live to our colleague Olivia He on the ground for more updates on the opening of Boao Forum for Asia. Hi there, Olivia. So first, share with us what you found from the opening ceremony.
Thank you, Michelle. Today is the big day with the highest number of attendees at the opening ceremony earlier this morning. China's top legislator and chairman of the Standing Committee of the National People's Congress, Zhao Leji, delivered a keynote speech. He shared China's perspectives on the relationship between Asia and the world, as well as future of global development. He emphasized China's commitment to working together to build a world where humanity shares a common destiny. He underscored Asian people's strong appreciation for peace and a harder nature of development, calling for collective efforts to safeguard security and actively contribute to global peace and stability in the region. He also outlined China's economic vision, highlighting an expected growth target of around 5% this year, maintaining its leadership among the world's major economies. China's driving modernization with a focus on high-quality development, fueling the world economy's recovery and creating more opportunities for neighboring Asian countries. The country is prioritizing innovative development and industrial transformation, seeking to boost new quality productive forces and foster new economic growth points. He reaffirmed China's commitment to opening up to the world, stressing that China's open door will continue to expand and never close. In the afternoon, there will be several sub-forums discussing China's economic outlook, sustainable development of intellectual property rights, and global security initiatives. Officials from various departments will talk about how to align and integrate global security efforts with other countries and organizations. And that's all from me here at the Boao Forum. Now it's back to you in Beijing, Michelle.
All right, thank you so much for the update, Olivia He, for us at Boao Forum. Earlier, during a conversation with my colleague Michael Wong, Ban Ki-moon, chairman of Boao Forum for Asia, discussed the urgency of global climate action. Ban Ki-moon highlighted the record temperatures experienced in 2023 and applaud China's commitment to carbon neutrality by 2060. He also underscored the importance of unity in addressing environmental challenges.
Last year, when we spoke, you really pushed the global community to do more, intensify their efforts when it comes to combating climate change. Where do we stand in terms of progress on that front in that 1 year, or is perhaps progress still moving a little bit too slowly on climate action?
I'm deeply concerned by the way the international community are now taking on this climate action. We must take much, much stronger and faster action to make sure that by 2050, whole world's people will realize carbon zero, net zero target. By 2030, we must make sure that at least 43% of global green global emissions will be reduced. Last year, 2023, was recorded as the highest temperature since 1850. That is very worrisome. Then the climate change has been causing a lot of very serious flooding and very bad desertifications. We must take urgent action to finish our industry pattern. When President Xi Jinping announced carbon neutrality by 2060, I was a bit disappointed because the world target is carbon neutrality by 2050. But what President Xi Jinping said, because of absolute amount of emission, we cannot finish by 2050. But by 2060, we'll make sure that China will come net to zero by constructing 150 nuclear reactors. I was surprised. I could not believe if that can be done. But there was a very ambitious political commitment.
You spoke with China Central Television many times here at the Boao Forum for Asia, and on two occasions you used different idioms to describe the relationship between the Chinese economy and the global economy. And we're wondering if you have a new term this year to describe this relationship.
I often use the word, the wisdom of a Chinese idiom, Dong Zhou Gong Ji. For example, when we row a boat in a river or in a sea, all the members, they have to boat together at the same time toward the right direction, one direction. If the parties, one rows the other side or another directions, then this boat will never move or sometimes capsized. So this is a great lesson which we have seen in many, many different cases, particularly political leaders. They have to join their hands together. There may be some different parties, but different party is not important. The country and the people, they are much more important than the parties. They have to really learn the lessons from Dong Zhou Gong Ji. Row in the same direction to make this world better and more sustainable and better future.
At this year's Boao Forum, one of the prominent area of discussion revolves around AI governance. During a parallel session, we spoke to Lu Jinghui, the chief security officer at Vivo, a prominent Chinese smartphone manufacturer. He shared insights on China's approach to regulating AI.
China is among the frontrunners in AI governance. We firmly believe that development and supervision should go hand in hand, and that ethics and innovation can coexist. China strives to achieve effective supervision while harnessing the dividends of scientific and technological progress. The country has taken a lead in AI governance and the formulation of relevant standards, effectively supporting the healthy and orderly development of the industry.
The Boao Forum for Asia is actively promoting regional cooperation and development as well as strengthening China's ties with ASEAN. To gain further insights on this matter, let's now connect to our correspondent Ryan Melzer in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Hi there, Ryan. So what are your thoughts on these developments?
Well, I've just been attending an event called the Silk Road Forum, at which some high-level Chinese and Malaysian speakers talked about the centuries-long bonds between this part of the world and China, historical, cultural, people-to-people, as well as trade as well. And of course, the Boao Forum looks to build on those ties, the people-to-people ties, the business-to-business, government-to-government, as well as facing up to the challenges collectively, economic and geopolitical as well, ASEAN and China, and also fostering more support for trade and investment liberalization, something that China and ASEAN are both very strongly committed to. Now, it's a fact that is often repeated, certainly often repeated by me, that China has been ASEAN's number one trading partner for many years now. In the case of Malaysia, 15 consecutive years. But during the pandemic, ASEAN also overtook the EU to become China's number one trading partner as well. Now, the trade is somewhat lopsided. It's obviously that China exports a vast array of goods to this region, but this region is also very important in terms of its exports to China, in terms of commodities for Malaysia, such as palm oil and rubber, other countries' minerals and so on. But also these countries of ASEAN are a critically important part of China's electronics supply chain. China was the first country with which ASEAN forged a free trade agreement, and it's now building on that, trying to upgrade and update that. As well, all the ASEAN countries and China are part of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, so all very strongly committed to trade liberalization. But the real transformation has really happened in the area of investment. It's hard to imagine now, but countries such as Malaysia invested far more in China a decade ago than the other way around. But since the advent of the Belt and Road Initiative, that's really flipped on its head, and we've seen a huge influx of Chinese foreign direct investment, and not only in areas such as infrastructure development. We hear about countries and companies pursuing this China plus one policy of diversifying their supply chains. Well, to a degree, China itself is doing that, and we've seen not only, as I say, infrastructure companies, but we've seen other industries such as high-tech garment, textile making, yarn weaving, steel making, automakers, solar power companies from China investing heavily in this region as China also looks to diversify its supply chains and bring its goods, manufacture its goods closer to market, as well as trying to avoid the implications of the China-US trade war as well. So there's a very strong commitment within this region and between ASEAN and China to foster more trade and investment liberalization through multilateral agreements and bilateral agreements, but also stronger people-to-people ties, cultural ties as well. And for Malaysia particularly, this is a very important year because this year marks the 50th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic ties between Malaysia and China, hence why we have events such as this Silk Road Forum that I just attended and many more important bilateral events to come in the months ahead.
All right, thank you so much for the report. Great stuff. Ryan Melzer for us in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. On the sidelines of the Boao Forum, AstraZeneca CEO Pascal Soriot spoke to CGTN anchor Guan Xin on China's economic prospects and its growing role as an innovation leader, particularly in biopharmaceuticals. Soriot expressed a strong confidence in China's supply chain efficiency and its strategic importance to the company's global operations.
What are the main takeaways regarding China's economic outlook? You know, there is a theory in the West about China's economy has peaked, running out of steam. What is your view on the growth potential and market outlook?
And I think it's important to remember there are 1.4 billion people in China. The average GDP per capita is only $12,000. And so there's still a lot of room to further increase. And everything is here to make it happen. The technologies, the innovation, the education and the commitment of people to actually do better and grow the economy. So I'm very, very enthusiastic about the future of China and the growth of the economy.
Mm. And China is increasingly relying on innovation as a new driver of growth. What are your thoughts on the evolving collaboration with China on research and development, especially on new technologies like AI?
In the last few years, China has made enormous progress in technologies across a variety of sectors. They're working on new technologies, not the old small molecule or large molecule. They're working on cell therapy, gene therapy, oligonucleotides, mRNA. And really, they are now driving the next wave of innovation in biopharmaceuticals. So I clearly believe that China will play a big role in my sector in terms of innovation. And with this will come new job, good job, well-paid job, reflecting the focus on new quality productive forces.
You said earlier that AstraZeneca is now in China for the world. How do you evaluate the efficiency and security of China's supply chains, and how important is China in your global supply chain network?
Well, we already export to about 100 countries around the world from China. We have several plants in China, and we are building two new plants. We're building one in Jingdao in Shandong province to manufacture inhaled products for asthma COPD, and a new small molecule plant in Wuxi. The sum of those two investments is more than $1 billion US, and the plants are actually being built. And they will manufacture for China, but also for the rest of the world. So we have great confidence in China's ability to deliver quality products, good productivity, low cost of goods, and quality supply chain.
A world at the crossroads of change.
What is Asia's answer? Turning global challenges into win-win opportunities.
Through the theme, Asia and the World, Common Challenges, Shared Responsibilities.
The Boao Forum for Asia convenes to address the biggest issues defining our future.
And be part of the dialogue that shapes our shared future.
Shanghai has made it its mission to accelerate the building of global 5 centers in economy, finance, trade, shipping, and sci-tech innovation. Shanghai officials made the remarks Thursday on the city's efforts to become a modern socialist international metropolis. Mayor Gong Zheng noted the 5% rise in Shanghai's GDP to 4.7 trillion yuan, or over $657 billion in 2023. The value of transactions in the city's financial industry hit a record high of over 3.737 quadrillion yuan, or $466 trillion in 2023. Shanghai's port trade volume continued to lead the world, reaching 10.7 trillion yuan, accounting for 3.6% of global trade volume. Officials said the city will exert more efforts in attracting foreign investments.
First, we will open wider to the outside world. We will synergize our efforts with high-standard international economic and trade rules, expand institutional opening up, follow through on removing all restrictions on successful foreign investment in the manufacturing sector, and carry out a comprehensive pilot program to expand opening up in the service sector so as to embrace global enterprises and talents with a more open mind. Second, we will attract more foreign investment. We will continue to play the role of a global partner for foreign investment, hold investment promotion events abroad, and support foreign enterprises in investing more in areas such as green development, digital transformation, and technological innovation. Third, we will improve services for foreign enterprises. We will improve the service mechanisms of panels and specialists for foreign investment projects, optimize the service package system for key enterprises, and hold roundtables between the government and foreign enterprises so as to address more difficulties of the foreign enterprises and to provide better services so as to enhance the sense of gain of foreign enterprises with more accurate and high-quality services.
The integration of AI technology into counties and towns of China is becoming prevalent as advancements in artificial intelligence continue. CGTN reporter Chen Lanyou visits an AI data Annotation Center in southwest Chongqing, Fengjie County. Let's take a look at the development of the new high-quality productive forces in the area.
Fengjie, located at the heart of the Yangtze River tourism belt, is renowned as a scenic county in Chongqing. To stimulate local economy and encourage young people to return, the county has implemented various strategies to boost its tech sector. Baidu is one of the earliest enterprises to start operating in Fengjie. This AI database provides a range of data annotation services, including auto-driving, content audit, and more.
We are the first artificial intelligence enterprise to start operation in Fengjie County. We have provided 500 job opportunities for Fengjie.
The company has integrated AI technology into the sale of local specialties, namely oranges.
We integrate relevant data of oranges into our platform.
By annotating and analyzing data during live stream sales, the company aims to better assist fruit farmers in increasing orange sales. The development in technology has also attracted young people whose parents are orange farmers to come back home to work. Now they can enjoy a stable income at these tech firms while assisting in the sales of the oranges.
When the navel oranges are ready for sale, we'll select a time that doesn't clash with our work schedules.
Many young people who previously worked in larger cities found that the lack of assistance led to local oranges becoming unsellable. After joining our company, they can support their families in selling oranges, boost family income, and secure stable employment with us.
Fengjie is now home to 44 big data companies, drawing back young people who had previously worked in larger cities.
I didn't realize how much our county had changed until I came here. Seeing this AI company was a surprise, as tall office buildings like this were rare in our small county. The presence of such large companies has greatly boosted our county's economy.
The arrival of big data enterprises is also attributed to the support provided by the government.
We've issued a total of 260 million yuan, or around $36 million, in knowledge value credit loans to 162 tech companies. And we've also guided 130 million yuan, or $18 million, in business value credit loans to support enterprise development.
Moving forward, our focus will be on accelerating the formation of new quality productive forces, reinforcing the leading role of enterprises in innovation.
The government plans to attract over 100 enterprises and create 3,000 to 5,000 job opportunities within the next 2 years, opening up more options for people who wish to return to their hometowns. Chen Lanyou, CGTN, Fengjie.
Moving on to the commodity market, where coca, a key ingredient in chocolate production, prices have surged to historically high levels. It recently hit an all-time high of over $10,000 per ton. The surge in coca futures prices, which have risen by approximately 130% year-to-date, is primarily driven by concerns over inadequate supply. Despite a slight decline in coca trading on Wednesday, prices still closed above $9,900 per ton, marking the highest level ever recorded. The price escalation is a result of a disappointing harvest reported by major coca-producing countries, including Ghana, Nigeria, and Côte d'Ivoire. Additionally, London coca futures have also witnessed peak prices this week as the upcoming Easter holiday approaches, which is a significant time for consuming chocolate treats in Western countries. The market is anticipating even higher prices. Ghana in West Africa is the world's second largest producer of coca, with a market share of about 20%. Coca is vital to Ghana's economy, accounting for 15% of GDP and a quarter in exports. It is the second source for the country's foreign exchange earnings after mineral exports. The surge in coca prices might not benefit the country, as a plunge in production could outweigh the price gain. Let's have a look.
Samuel Komlon owns this 1.6-hectare cocoa farm in Esekaso in the eastern region of Ghana. He used to produce at least 30 bags of beans from this farm, but now it's 20, a decline he puts down to changing weather patterns.
The time that it's supposed to rain, it won't rain. And every year has its time of to produce. So if the rain doesn't come at that particular time, definitely to affect the yield.
Ghana is experiencing hot temperatures and heavy rainfall patterns, linked to climate change. It's leading to the depletion of the harvest in many of Ghana's cocoa farming areas.
Last year, Ghana's cocoa sector lost about 150,000 tons of beans to diseases and the destruction of cocoa farms by illegal miners. The country's cocoa regulator, Cocoa Board, says that's why the country wasn't able to meet its target of producing 950,000 tons of beans in the last crop season.
Ghana and neighboring Ivory Coast are the world's largest producers of cocoa. The shortfall of production in the two West African countries is causing a surge in global prices. A ton of cocoa is currently selling at a record $6,000, up from about $4,000 last year.
It's unfortunate. Now the price of cocoa is very good, but we can't get large quantities from the farmers due to the challenges they are facing.
The cocoa regulator had predicted about 820,000 tons of cocoa would be produced in the 2023-2024 crop season, but it's had to revise that down to 500,000 tons due to the effects of climate change, crop disease, and the destruction of cocoa farms.
The government must enact laws to prevent the cocoa trees where the land is fertile for cocoa. There shouldn't be a galamsey at that area, you see. But if we don't enact laws, even the cocoa trees, people are cutting them.
The government says it is rehabilitating cocoa farms and will introduce climate smart adaptive measures to deal with the challenges. But many cocoa farmers are worried their livelihoods are at risk from the multiple challenges they face. Nabil Ahmed Rufai, CGTN, Esekaso, Eastern Region of Ghana.
And that will do it for this edition of Global Business. And we have in the break in Beijing. Stay with us.